Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, welcome to 2020 here at Hoboken Grace. How many of you are excited about the new year? That extra sleep must have helped you because you were much better than the first service. I think they wanted to go back to last year. It's 2020. 2020 is finally here. The year of weddings. Have you heard this? You haven't heard this? Apparently, there are going to be more weddings that take place this year than any year in the past 10 years. Everybody wants to get married in 2020. I actually heard of several couples that got engaged here at Hoboken Grace over the course of the last couple weeks. If you were with us in December, I take full credit for that. You are welcome. For those of you who are in their bridal parties, it also means that your financial goals for 2020 are shot. It's funny. It used to be that parents got together and would offer the couple money if they just eloped, if they just had a small wedding. I feel like now with the way that it's becoming, I feel like the bridal party should get together and just be like, hey, listen, we'll give you 40 grand if you just elope, like instead of us spending our life savings on your wedding. But this year apparently is the year of the wedding. It's also the year of vision. 2020 vision. It's a big vision year for obvious reasons. But I researched it and it's interesting. Turns out 2020 is just average vision. Did you know this? Like you can have 2015 vision, which is better. And then I didn't know that this was possible. You can actually have 2010 vision. There are actually people who have 2010 vision. Turns out we missed the best vision year by 10 years. By 10 years. But there's vision, 2020 vision everywhere. And we didn't really plan it this way, but we actually have vision nights that are coming up in just a week. On the 13th and the 16th, you heard Ashley talk about it a little bit in the video there. We have two identical vision nights. And I just want to emphasize this. Please make sure you're a part of one of those two nights. For the entire history of our church, we have been dreaming about impacting our community in ways that we've never been able to do before, but now are going to be able to step into. This is something that we've never done in the history of our church, and we want to be able to share that with you. And so please make sure that you're here either on the 13th or the 16th, 7 p.m. in this space. We have Grace Kids. It's going to be available for both of those nights. They're identical. You don't have to attend both, but please make sure that you are here for one of those nights. I'm a huge New Year's person. I love the new year. I love the possibility of it. I love being able to look forward to the new year and what could happen and what do I want to see happen and what changes do I want to put into place. This past week, my wife and I sat down every year at the beginning of the year. We sit down for our family strategy meeting. And so we sat down and worked through what this next year is going to look like and our calendar and the vacations and wherever, what's going to happen, our kids' activities. I know it's really romantic. Yeah, but we love it. We love the possibility of okay, what could this look like and how do we step into this and make the most of the time that we have in front of us? Some of you are like that. Others of you, not so much. Others of you, you're not Christmas Scrooges, you're New Year's Scrooges. And people will share with you what they want to see happen this next year. And you're like, oh, whatever. It's always going to be the same. Nothing ever changes. I am who I am. And you're New Year's Scrooges. And I want to be able to address both of you as we walk into this year. Because I don't know if you know this or not. But the idea of new is central to the message of Jesus. Do you know that? The idea of new is not just part of the message of Jesus. It's actually at the very core of the message of Jesus. It's actually at the very center of what Jesus has to share with you and with me as he steps into our story. This idea of new. And as we walk through the next few weeks together, our core passage speaks directly to this. I want to take you to it. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. It says this. It says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught," and listen to what it says, "you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." As Jesus steps into our lives, at the very core of what he shares with us is the idea of new. And I know for some of you say, no, you are who you are. I am who I am. It's going to be you. No, that's not actually what Jesus says. Jesus is constantly and consistently talking about new. That he wants for you something new. That he wants for you to know and experience something new. Let me ask you something. As we begin this journey together, and the next couple of weeks are definitely going to be a journey for us together, I want to ask you a question. Where in your life have you given up on new? Where in your life have you settled for the old? In other words, where in your life have you said to yourself, well, it's just always, I give up. It's just always going to be this way. I give up. I'm just always going to struggle with that. Maybe it's in relationships, the way that you interact with relationships, engage relationships. Maybe it's your marriage, and maybe it's your ability to be able to control your anger. Maybe it's that addiction that you've given up on the new. Maybe it's the way that you speak to your kids. Where in life have you decided to just settle for the old? You've just said it is what it is. I am who I am. Listen. Jesus consistently, as he steps into our lives, speaks to us about the new. And the new that he wants for us to experience, I don't even think is the right way to think about it. The new that he wants for us to live in. The new that he wants for us to embody. And in that, there's something that you need to understand about how Jesus brings this into our lives. Because this whole idea of new with Jesus, it doesn't begin just with what we do. It doesn't begin with the actions that typically we think about when we think of old and new. It actually goes much further than that. When Jesus steps into your life, he doesn't step into your life and say, okay, I want to fix this up. I think a lot of us think that way about God. We think that God steps into our life and he's like, okay, I want to fix this up. I'm going to do a little remodeling here and a little bit of repair work here, and we're going to fix this thing up and get it to where it's presentable. And that's not actually, that's not how how God engages this idea of new when he steps into our lives. You see, God's not interested in repair work in our lives. He's not interested in just presenting us with self-help principles that allow us to be able to get a little bit better at what we do. At the core of Jesus's message is no. I'm not just here to make the old a little bit better. I'm here to bring something new. Jesus speaks to this as he's having a conversation with one of the religious leaders of his day. His name is Nicodemus. And Jesus says something super powerful. And he makes it really clear, this idea of new. Let me take you to this passage. It's found in John chapter 3. Jesus is in the midst of this conversation with Nicodemus. And he says this. He says, in reply, Jesus declared, because he's in conversation, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, obviously, this doesn't make any sense to Nicodemus. What do you mean, born again? What are you talking about, born again? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And Jesus says, listen, Nicodemus, I'm not interested in making your life a little bit better. No. I want for you to be made new. And the way that he pictures it, the illustration that he gives is this idea of being born again. I want for you to be made new, not from the outside in. I actually want for you to be made new from the inside out. I want to change at the very core. I want to change who you are. One of the great mistakes that we make in the way that we think about God and sometimes even the way that we teach about God is that sometimes we teach or we think that what stands between us and God is what we do. So we talk about this in terms of the word sin and the things that we do to be able to hurt God or to be able to hurt those around us. We're talking about what we do. But as Jesus steps into our life and God actually uses Paul as he's writing to the church at Rome to make this super clear to us, he says, the problem isn't just what you do, the problem is actually who you are. Some of you are thinking, well, that's worse news, Chris. That's not better news. That's worse news. What do you mean it's not just, what do you mean the problem is not just what I do? The problem is who I am. How do I change who I am? And here's the thing about it. You can't change who you are. But Jesus gave his life to do just that for you. And the amazing message of Jesus is not that you can change what you do. The amazing message of Jesus is that you can change who you are. That you can be made new. And God says the problem is that we enter this life and we have a heart that's broken. Rather than it. Craving love, it craves selfishness. Rather than it craving what brings life, it craves what brings destruction. Which is why, if you go down the self-help road, and some of you have been on this journey with us, and that's what you're trying to do. You're learning these principles from God, and you're going to improve what's happening out here. But your entire life, you're going to feel like you're fighting against yourself. Have you ever felt like that? Some of you gave up on New Year's resolutions because you felt like that. You're like, no, I'm just constantly fighting against myself. It's not going to work out. And Jesus says, yeah. No, listen. I'm not here to just mend what was. I'm not here to put a fresh coat of paint on this deal. I'm not here to just renovate your life. He said, no. I'm starting over, and I want to make you new. You see, Jesus gives his life on the cross for us to be forgiven for what we've done. But he walks out of the tomb because he wants to make us new. And as he comes back, as the Father brings him back to life, it screams to each and every one of us, no, God wants to do the very same thing for you. for you to be made new. And this entire journey, this entire journey of experiencing, of living in the new, it starts not with what you do. It starts with who you are. And Jesus says, before we go any further, what I want you to know is that you have to be born again. I want to make you new. From the inside out. And for some of you today, that's what needs to happen in your life. You've been trying the principles thing, but you've never actually invited him to make you new. To say, no, I want to be born again. I want for you to give me a heart that longs for that which brings life, a heart that longs for love. I want to be made new. The reality is that you can't change who you are, but he can, and he gave his life to do just that for you. To be made new. And if you're here today, and that's you, let me just share with you what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is inviting you into this with him. And as, again, inside of Romans, as God's using Paul to be able to share this with the church at Rome, he says, no, if you will confess that Jesus is Lord, and this is exactly what Jesus talked to his disciples about, because this idea of Lord is the exact same idea of following, okay? You're the one who's in control. Okay, Jesus, I understand. I can't do this. I can't change who I am, but I completely believe that you can, and I believe that you did what you did, that you are who you are. And God says, listen, if you'll step into this relationship with me, if you'll begin to follow me, not just be pursued by me, but begin to pursue me, and if you'll trust me, that I love you this way, that I gave my son for you in this way, I can make you new from the inside out. And he invites you into that. I want today to invite you into that. If you've never had that conversation with him, for you to go and to be able to say, I want to be made new. And I trust that you can do that. That you've done what's necessary for that to happen in my life. I don't want to just change what I do. I want to change who I am. You see, here's the thing. Everything that we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks, it doesn't actually work if you don't step into that with it. If you don't begin this journey of being made new from the inside out, you can change out here all you want. You're just going to be constantly fighting against yourself. You have to allow him to do what only he can do, to make you new. To change who it is that you are. He's not going to force this on you. But he invites you into it. And I want to invite you, if you haven't had that conversation, it starts there. Have that conversation right now. You see, that lie,
that lie that I am who I am. Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his life to make sure that that would not be true. You are not who you are. You have only begun. You have only begun to see and to experience who he created you to be and who he has in store for you to become. Don't you settle for that. Invite him to make you new. Now, for others of you, you've had that conversation with him. But as you look at this passage, you see that being reborn, being made new from the inside out, it doesn't complete the process. Let me just take you back to that passage again. It says, you are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. And so he says, listen, you need to understand something. It all begins with being made new from the inside out, but that doesn't actually complete the process. He says, you have to learn and you have to engage in life, and you have a choice in life of whether or not you're going to experience the new, whether or not you're going to embody, whether or not you're going to live in the new, or whether or not you're going to continue to put on the old. Now the great news about this is this, and this was, I can remember exactly where I was. I was on Route 80 about halfway through the state of Pennsylvania. If you've ever been on Route 80 in the state of Pennsylvania, it's miserable. It's forever long, forever, forever, forever long. And it all looks the same. I'm sorry if you're from Pennsylvania, but you're not a great state to drive through. And I can remember exactly where I was. My dad was driving. I was reading this book, and it was talking through this. And I can remember the moment where I realized. And here's the thing. This is such a drastic shift. Before God makes you new, when you're striving to do what's right, you're working against yourself. When God steps in your life and makes you new, you're not working against yourself. You're working with yourself. There's a huge difference in that. There's a huge difference. You're working with who you actually are. But God says, as you step into this, you have to understand, I'm going to make you new from the inside out, but then you've got to begin to engage. Are you going to live in the old, or are you going to live in the new? And he gives us this picture, almost like a coat that you take off one and put on the other, and you get to decide like which one you're going to put on. And you get to choose over and over again, because as you look at this, this is an ongoing process. This isn't something you do once. This isn't something you just do occasionally. This is something that you do over and over and over again. He's talking about a way of engaging life, and he says you get to choose how you engage life, like which one you're going to put on, and which one you're going to experience, and which one you're going to live. He says you get to choose now. Do you live in the new, or do you go back to the old? I had a mentor who used to share a picture to kind of describe this. It's not a perfect illustration, but it really helped me to be able to think through. Okay, how does this work? He used to say, stepping into a relationship with Jesus is like entering the witness protection program. Makes perfect sense, right? Some of you are like, what? What are you talking about? He said, it's like this. When you step into the witness protection program, you become someone new. Now, here's where the illustration breaks down. In witness protection program, you don't actually become someone new, right? You're the same person. When Jesus steps into your life, you actually become someone new. He says, but the problem with witness protection program, and all of us know this, what's the problem with people who enter the witness protection program? They go back. They go back and they call that person. We've all seen it, right? You've seen FBI shows, Law and Order, all of these things, right? They've all taught us the problem with witness protection program. They call that person that they're not supposed to call. They use that phone and they go back to what they did before. Why? Because that's their habit. That's their natural tendency. And he said the same thing is true as you step into a relationship with Jesus. The reality is that you're made new from the inside out, but your flesh has the old habits. It has the old tendencies. It has the old hang-ups. And so it wants to go back. And you get to choose. Like, you get to choose on a consistent basis which one you're going to experience. And he said, learning to follow Jesus is learning how to be able to let go of those old habits and tendencies and those old appetites and those old struggles and to be able to live as who you are. Listen to me. Some of you need to say that to yourself over and over again, because some of you have stepped into that relationship with Jesus, but you still believe that you are who you used to be. One of my other mentors, I love it. He used to talk about how he hated the line, "I'm a sinner saved by grace." Now I understand the line and I understand the importance of the line, but he used to say, I hate that line. Why? Because when you've been saved by grace, you no longer, that's no longer who you are. And if you continue to identify yourself with who you are, you're going to continue to believe that you're working against yourself as opposed to understanding that no. That desire, that voice inside of you that's pointing you to what is right and that's pointing you to life, that's actually who you are. So following Jesus is about learning, okay, how do I let go of that old? I still have those old habits and tendencies and hangouts. How do I let go of that old, and how do I live in the new? And listen to me. I'm not just talking about how do you occasionally experience the new. I'm talking about how do you live in, how do you embody the new that Jesus gave his life for you to know. Not occasionally, not once every once in a while. No. How do you consistently live in the new? And here's the thing about it. I know when I'm living in the old and when I'm living in the new. I know when I'm living in the old of worry and when I'm living in the new of hope and faith. I know it. I know when I'm living in the old of deceitfulness or when I'm living in the new of honesty. And I know when I'm living in the old of selfish communication and when I'm living in the new of loving communication. I know it. It's not just I know it by what I do. I know it by how I feel. You can feel it. For some of you, you've been on this relationship with Jesus for a while and you know it. You know what it's like, the freedom of living in the new. And experiencing the new that he's made possible. But unfortunately for some of us, we've given up. What I want to do over the next couple of weeks is look at, okay, how do we live in the new? How do we not just know this? A lot of you know this. Many of you have heard this verse many, many times. But if I were to sit down with you and say, okay, how do you practice this? Well, what do you mean? Well, he didn't just want to inform us of something. How do you do this? And I'm not interested at the end of this month for us to know this as a theory. I want for us to know, okay, how do you do this? How do you practice this over and over and over and over again in your life? So here's what I want for you to do. Where in your life are you living in the old? Where in your life are you living in the old. Maybe it's the way that you're handling yourself at work, the way that you're interacting with your spouse, the way that you're interacting with relationships, the way that you're interacting with sex. The way you're abusing that substance. Where in your life are you living in the old? Now what I want for you to do is pull out your phone. I know you have it with you, so if you don't, pull it out. I know you're lying. It's 2020, for goodness sakes. Of course you have your phone with you. All of us have our phones with us all the time. Now open up whatever notes app you have on your phone. Go ahead. I'll give you a little bit of time. Even though most of you are very quick at this, some of you are like, notes? They have notes apps on phones? Yeah, it's not just for a web browser. Go ahead and open that out. And here's what I want for you to do. I want for you to write down one of those ways. Where are you living in the old? I want for you to write down one. And some of you are like, whoa, there's way more than one. I understand. You're screwed up. I get that. I myself could only think of one. But no, I'm kidding. I'm right there with you. I understand. But here's the thing. If you try, or if I try to tackle all 85 of them, I'm going to completely fail. You know that about yourself. I know that about myself. And here's the thing. We're going to practice this. Why? Because this is a skill. This is a skill that God wants to develop in our lives. This is something that God wants us to know, not just to know about, but to know how to do. And so what I want for you to do is because we're going to use this note over and over again, so make sure that you save it afterwards, okay? I want for you to write down one thing. You can shield it if you don't want the person next to you. You don't ever have to share this with someone else, okay? Actually, we're going to talk about the benefit of that in a couple weeks, but... But I want for you to write down the one place where you're living in the old. That anger you can't let go of. What is it? Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at, okay, how do we take off the old? And how do we put on the new? Now, if you haven't had that conversation with God about being made new from the inside out, it has to start there. It has to start there. I want to encourage you, have that conversation with him today. And then, as you step into that relationship, for all of us, with that thing that you wrote down, listen, because here's homework, I'm going to ask you to pull out your phone next week, okay? Here's your homework. This week, what I want for you to do is I want for you to think through, okay, I know what it looks like to live in the old. What would it look like? What would it look like for that to be made new? Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to walk through some of the passages that follow this. As soon as he says this, he goes and shows all these different contrasts. So he says, listen, if you're living in lie, I want for you to live in truthfulness. He says, if you're stealing, I want for you to become generous. And he's laying out all of these contrasts of the old and the new. And so here's what I want for you to do. Whether it's a time that you set aside that you're just going to sit and think about it this week, or whether you just process it as you're walking through the week, I want for you as you come back next week, to be able to have on that note what the new looks like. What Jesus gave his life to make possible in your life. And let me, I do have to clarify this because I know this is going to show up. This is not circumstantial. So if you, it doesn't, being single is not living in the old. Okay, it's not, okay, I'm living in the old single and the new would be me married. No, that's not this, okay? This is not circumstantial. This has to do with who you are. This has to do with the way you engage life, okay? But what does the old look like? What is the new? Don't you for one second tell me you are who you are. That flies in the face of everything Jesus did. Absolutely not. You see with Jesus, there's no end to the new. There's no end to the new. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the reality that you came for us to know new. I pray that as we walk through this, that this would not in any way be something that we just learn and know, that this would be something that we practice, that we learn how to do, so that we can know the new, and so that you can get the glory. In Jesus' name.